folks. My name's Alf, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Tough crowd, eh? Congratulations, Karen. It's wonderful. It's really good to see. It's nice to be able to kind of track people, their recovery. It was nice tracking my own ass as I went along. It's nice. Gave me something to look forward to, which sometimes, especially in early recovery, it's not always easy to see the light of day through the fog. I don't think I'm going to keep you guys here very long tonight. I do have some important things to say, but I don't think it'll take me that long. I won't talk long about my drinking either, because I'm sure we're all well-versed in how that is. Works if you work it. Thanks for coming up. Now, as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I believe that I have a responsibility. Somebody cared enough about me when I came in here to tell me some truths about myself. Let me know that I got to get through the work. And then I'm going to have to help others if I'm going to stay sober and if I'm going to stay alive. Now, working with others is one aspect of it, but I also have a huge responsibility of carrying a proper message. Now, around this proper message, I would believe that it has to do with a message of recovery, that there's 12 steps to freedom. Through this freedom, I'll find God. I'm quite confident in saying that, because that's what the steps did for me. Is I don't not drink one day at a time today. I live my life one day at a time. I did have to make some notes just in case I slipped a few things as I went along. Real brief about my history. I was born in Halifax, raised in Porter's Lake. First drunk was when I was 12 years old. I believe that's when I lost the power of choice over alcohol. By age 15, alcohol became a necessity and was no longer a luxury for me. The year I graduated high school, I bootlegged for money out of one half of my father's garage. At that time, it was probably the greatest thing I ever did. But it paid for most of my education the next year when I went to the Nautical Institute in Port Hawkesbury, where my drinking accelerated to new heights and new lows, which found me in a seagoing career till age 22, when heads came to tails, and I found myself crawling into here, which was shortly after a blood relative of mine did the same thing. We used to run together a fair amount. Unfortunately, I didn't get it the first time around. And after 18 months of pure torture from not doing anything good for myself except using a fair amount of cocaine, I ended up drinking again because I knew it was the only feel-good that I believed it was the only feel-good that I thought I could get my hands on. Just medications that the doctors put me on weren't working. Might have helped if I told them the truth about how I was feeling too. But I went on a 14-month march of total destruction, ruining every relationship I possibly could. Friends, family, my ex-girlfriend. But I've since been able to move on from all that. And January 26, 2004, God removed me from alcohol. So, Lord knows, when I woke up that day, I didn't want to get away from it, as it's the only place I wanted to go. I don't know what kept me from tipping the bottle that morning, but it's kind of interesting. Later on in that day, my cousin called me. He was on a course in Toronto. Just out of the blue, I hadn't talked for him in months. He wouldn't really have anything to do with me while I was drinking. How you doing? Haven't talked for a while. I feel like shit. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Do you know where I can go to a meeting tonight? Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do. And off I went. From there, realized that meetings alone weren't going to do it for me right off the hop. I was a little delusional. And I ended up attending the CORE program. Met a bunch of great people that helped me a whole lot through there, but this is where my heart is right now. If I wasn't able to find God, I wouldn't be able to free of the chains that bound me. And what I was bound in was a sea of turmoil, delusion, fear, ignorance, and selfishness. Now realizing this, it allowed me to take a real good look at myself, an honest look at myself. I believe honesty is the foundation of this program. So without it, the first step can't be moved on from. So I know damn well that I cannot drink again. Period. My life was unmanageable. Note the past tense. Not so much unmanageable today. Which brings me to the chips, which I'm really glad somebody got one tonight. On chips, at the top says, "To thine own self be true." And I believe that's rounded around the top for a reason. Because like on any form of construction, an arch, a porthole in a ship, it's all round because it's the strongest way that something can be built, is in a semicircle. All the forces are applied evenly all over the... And without the honesty aspect, we've got nothing. Now, being able to be honest with myself, moving on from step one, I knew that no human power was going to relieve my alcoholism, and I had to search elsewhere. Because I know that nobody was going to help me restore me to a place where I could stand in front of you guys and talk like I am right now. Now, with that realization also came a new one, that I had to make a decision. Not just a decision, a true commitment to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And not just some of it, all of it. A whole decision. Now, at this point, it was time to set out on a vigorous course of action. Had to have a serious look at myself, all my selfish, gluttonous, cheating, deceiving, lying, promiscuous ways, and discover some serious truths. Now, leading up to this point, I was kind of bothered by doing this, because I didn't know I wasn't going to like what I was going to see. Fact of the matter was, I did it all already. There's nothing I can do about it to change it. When I get to step 9, I can try to reconstruct some of the wreckage. As far as step 4 goes, I can't sweat it. I did it. I done it. I don't want it anymore. Plus, it afforded me an opportunity to throw away all my garbage and allow God to show me a new way to live my life. Now, finishing step 4, the opportunity to share all of my shit, exact nature of my wrongs, my sponsor, God, and myself. It's not so bad when I was writing it, but to actually hear myself say some of it over and over again, you know, in the third column, selfish, you know, should have respected the other person, just didn't like hearing it over and over and over again. But at the end of our time together, it made me realize my selfishness, my fears, and that a lot of my actions and decisions were based on plain ignorance. It's quite a humbling experience, actually. Feels really good not to have any secrets with at least one person on this planet. There happens to be two. They're both in this room. I have absolutely no secrets with them, and it's great. It's a really freeing experience. Now, I think it's important to remember that spirituality is the way of strength and courage. Prior to 4 and 5, and immediately following 6 and 7. Now, being at step 6, I was left alone for a very short time. It was less than an hour. At that point in time, I reviewed the first 5 proposals of this program and left to think about if I omitted anything. after doing that, I asked myself if I'm now ready to have God remove all these things which I found objectionable. Was I? Oh, hell yeah, because I didn't want to hold on to it any longer. When I was ready, I said something like this: "My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding." Step 7, done. This got to be the hardest part: taking responsibility for my actions. Steps 8 and 9. Because I won't let alcohol be an excuse for any of the destruction that I caused. Period. I was the one who made the formal decision to go ahead and do every little thing that I did, because I picked up the drink in the first place. Now, not everyone's going to get the face-to-face that they deserve from me, because I can't. Some are no longer alive. What good would I be if I was locked down right now? And those that I could, they all got appointments booked with, and I tried to reconstruct what was broken. Most of them came off quite well. Others, I got to look up and down and told to go myself. But I think it's par for the course, which reminded me that, you know what, everything can't be good in life. I can't fix everything that I broke, but I at least tried to clean my side of the street. Now, being at the end of step 9, I'd just like to have a quick look back through the steps. 1 to 3, get me back to God. Steps 4 through 7, self, to get rid of all the things that aren't me. Steps 8 and 9, to reconstruct my relationships with others. 3 most important relationships: God, self, and others. And I believe the 4 through 9 are really the action steps where most of the work's going to be put in until you get to 12. And nowhere in the book does it say anything about taking your time to recover. I know I didn't want to stay sick no longer than I already was. These are a few things that popped in my head that come directly out of the book. Thoroughly followed our path, fearless and thorough from the very start, searching and fearless, a vigorous course of action. This requires action on our part. We should realize we are on a life and death errand. Faith without works is dead. Why wait? Hop right into it. It's laid right out for us. Oh, yeah. The 9th step promises. I do love them. I think there's some aspects of them that are, there's some confusion about, or people don't understand or don't want to believe. Perhaps it could read, "If we are painstaking about steps 8 and 9 of our development, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through." We'll be amazed through or halfway through. Are these extravagant promises? Absolutely not, if you want to do it. And I can't see why anybody in this room wouldn't want to do it. We're all beautiful people here. And goes on to say they are being fulfilled among us. Sometimes quickly, the spiritual experience. Sometimes slowly, the spiritual awakening. Not to be confused with, sometimes quickly we're doing it fast, and sometimes slowly we're doing it slowly because we're stalling and making excuses. They will materialize if we work for them. Now, step 10, we enter into the world of the Spirit. Great opportunity, minute-to-minute basis, to continue work with self. Step 11, continue freedom from self-will, improving our relationship with God. And step 12, work's done, guaranteed result, spiritual awakening, responsibility, and practicing the principles, working with others, back to what I started with. Our primary purpose, carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, the message of recovery. Get to God and get to others and get it happening quick. So, quick recap here. Abandon yourself to God, steps 1 through 3. Admit your faults to Him, yourself, and your fellows, 4 through 7. Clear away the wreckage of the past, 8 and 9, and take responsibility for your own ass. And give freely what you find, steps 10 through 12. And join us in liberation from what's killing us. I really only got one more thing to say, I think. Yeah, shit. I'll say it now, and then I'll talk about something else that I'd like to talk about. I heard it on a CD recently. Some of you else have probably heard it. But it struck me really, really hard. I sought my God I could not see. I sought myself, myself I could not free. I sought my brother, I found all three. Yeah, I think that's pretty profound in the necessity to be in constant contact with others. Right? I can see many faces in this room that if I would never met, I'd never be where I'm at today. Shit, I think that's all I got to say tonight. Thanks, folks.
Should we do topics, maybe? I don't know. Okay, we'll have three. How about two topics from the floor?
My name is Emily. I'm not calling.
Hi, Emily.
What about the first 3 months of our sobriety?
One more topic, please.